It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
My wife. The problem is, she thinks I'm wrong.
Huh?
Well, she's wrong.
Oh.
And Chad P.
And they lift him up, and they body surf him to the other side of the arena.
Okay.
And they figure, hey, if they're going to throw somebody out, they can throw out Joe.
Class is in.
God, it's like I just swallowed a rat. Hey, good afternoon. It is Rock School. My name is Joe Burns, and I'm done. I don't feel like running the show anymore.
What do you mean you're done?
I'm done. I'm not running the show anymore. This is the way the thing usually works. I come up with the topic. I send it to Chad. I run the show. Guess what? Chad came up with this topic. This one's all Chad.
This is mine?
Take it.
I got the ship.
Take it.
I'm driving.
You run the ship.
Well, we'll do it right then.
Hit it.
Here we go.
Hit it. Ooh, re-intro. Oh. Go.
Rock School, good afternoon. My name is Chad P. I am a former student and one who must learn. Sitting to my immediate left, a professor in the communication department, Southeastern Louisiana University. His name happens to be...
Joe Burns.
How are you, Doc?
I'm salubrious. How are you?
Let me tell you about where this topic came from.
All right.
May have been last week or the week... It was last week.
Yeah.
Last week's show, we were talking about royalties.
Right.
And you had mentioned that you gave Van Halen $111 and you've seen them, you know, five times. That prompted me to go to my office and say, well, how many shows have I been to? How many concerts have I actually been to? And I started writing down every single artist that I have ever seen.
Anything not to work.
I have seen 23 bands.
Really?
Since 2000. My first show was in 2000. 8 years, I've seen 23 bands.
I can't even tell you how many bands I've seen, but it's probably up around that amount.
I called up Doc and I said, hey, I've been to 23 concerts. What concerts have you been to? Let's do a show on the concerts we've been to.
Perfect.
So here we go.
We decided to put them in categories.
Yeah.
Best, worst,
that
kind of thing.
All that stuff. Can I start?
Why not? Your show. Run it.
It's the year 2000, and my friend Timothy calls me and says, hey, Creed is coming to New Orleans. Do you want to go?
Creed was your first concert?
My first concert was Creed.
Why not?
Hey, let's go. Let's go see Creed at the New Orleans Arena. He said, okay, look, if I jump on the internet at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I can get floor seats. You want in? Yes, indeed. I want in. We get tickets on the floor. We're standing in a special line only for people who are going to stand on the floor.
I hate floor seats.
Why?
I do. You're looking right up at their knees.
I've
gotten four seats for like 10 or 11 concerts, and I've never liked them. Yeah. I'm a big fan of being up.
Nah,
I like to be up looking down at the band. I've never liked floor seats.
Me. I like the floor.
Nah, never liked the floor.
We're standing in line, and all of a sudden I hear someone shout to me, and it's some guys that we actually went to high school with. We were seniors, and they were freshmen, sophomore, something like that. And they've got a little foreign exchange student with them, and ironically his name was Joe. He was from Tokyo, Japan.
Okay.
They put wristbands on us that read, no crowd surfing, no slam dancing, no mosh pitting. Any of these activities will result in ejection.
Okay.
We get inside. We sit on the floor. It's freezing cold. Lights go down. Place explodes.
Yes.
First band comes up, a group by the name of Guano Apes. The first thing that I realized is that these things are loud.
Oh, yes.
Very loud.
Yeah.
They were great. They got the group, they got the crowd going. Second band comes out, Seven Dust.
Yes.
Even better, louder.
Okay.
Creed comes out, explodes with a ton of pyro. I found out that I really like pyro.
Yes.
We're enjoying the show, and all of a sudden I see something glance by my head. It looks like a hummingbird going to a flower. They have decided, the high school kids, they have decided that they want to crowd surf. But they don't want to take the chance on getting thrown out, so they take Joe, the Tokyo Japanese foreign exchange student, and they lift him up, and they body surf him to the other side of the arena.
Okay.
And they figure, hey, if they're going to throw somebody out, they can throw out Joe.
Sure. What does he care?
Well, Joe,
he's not from here.
Joe didn't get thrown out.
Yes.
It turns out that all they did was kind of grab you and make you get down, but like 5 minutes later, you could get up again. Creed, my first concert, my first crowd surf.
Good for
an hour today. We're going to reminisce on the best concerts we've ever had.
And the worst.
Here's my first, Creed on Rock School.
My first concert ever, Creed, right
Beautiful.
Here on Rock School. Today we're talking about our most memorable concerts. That was my first. I have a couple of tidbits here about Creed, Doc, but I'm not going to get into all of them. The main one that I want to discuss with you, you know that Creed, they're not together anymore. They lasted about 10 years, 94 to 04. But the main thing about Creed is that they were always being accused, I say accused, but they were always being labeled a Christian band.
Yeah.
Now, they never did confirm nor deny being a Christian band, but here's a couple of facts. They never signed with a contemporary Christian label. They never played a main Christian venue, and they were never played on a mainstream Christian radio station.
And I never understand why bands get upset over that. Most bands would absolutely bring you someone's very soul to be able to hit another market or to get into another store.
Now,
and of all things to be upset about, you know, you might be Christian. You know, that's upsetting you?
Well, they didn't get necessarily upset like Evanescence did.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. If you are going to make it your mission to not be labeled a Christian band,
why write that song?
Quit writing songs!
Right.
Take me higher to a place of golden streets where blind men see. Where do you think they're talking about?
I have no idea. We're not going to we're not going to Fuddruckers to have a hamburger.
That was my first concert. What's yours?
It's unimportant.
No, it is important.
No, no, no. My first
concert.
My first concert was unimportant. It was. Remember, I'm far older than you. So.
But still, we're talking about concerts. That was my first. What's your first?
It was Barry Manilow.
What?
It was Barry Manilow. Okay.
Oh, really?
It really was.
Okay.
But let's move along, because I didn't bring any Barry Manilow with me.
Yeah,
so,
but you emailed me your playlist,
no,
and you said,
"Oh, don't."
You didn't bring any.
No, I didn't.
Well, I took the liberty.
Don't bring any Barry. No!
Were you dancing?
No. I can't smile without you, Chad. I can't smile. Now,
did you like this song?
I did. I really did. You gotta remember, I'm much older than you.
Well, that's
and for
all
the
right.
longest time, he was really the hottest thing around. So,
mm-hmm.
when people
what
ask,
year did you go see him?
Oh, gosh, I was very young. In fact, my parents took me.
Okay.
I mean, I was really young. But when somebody says, really, what's your first concert, Joe? What do you go to? I always say the first one that I went, that I drove to, that I took a date to, Abacab Tour Genesis.
Oh, cool.
I went to see them. I was a junior in high school. I saw them at the Cleveland Richfield Coliseum. It was in 1981, and they were brilliant. And I had floor seats. I did what you did. I stood in line at Peach's Record Store. Absolutely adored the show, and it was, Phil Collins was out front, and the big question was, did he have the full beard, or did he not have the full beard, and he did. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and the date that I was with, couldn't stand it.
No way.
No, she was a bubblegum pop, absolutely, you know, could not stand one bit of the whole thing.
Oh,
I, on the other
man.
Hand, thought it was absolutely great. Genesis, from the Abacab album. It's not really my first concert, but it's the one I take, because I don't want to admit Barry Manilow.
Talk to me. You never talk to me. Ooh, it seems that I can speak. Well, I can hear my voice shouting out. But there's no reply at all.
No reply at all, Abacab. That was the tour, Genesis. I went to other concerts beforehand, but they were like little high school things and all. But this,
right.
I consider this my first concert because it was the first one where there were like 15,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I went to little things here and there, like at the high school and all of that.
Right.
But this was the really real, real big one that made me just go, wow,
and you
I'm
brought
really
a,
at a concert.
And you brought a date who didn't have fun?
Well, it's not that she didn't have fun. She would have just really have rather been at, like, the Go-Go's.
Okay.
That kind of thing. Phil right. Collins obviously stepping out from behind the drums to take over as the lead singer.
Yeah, you were saying something about that when we were off mic, that Phil Collins drummed a lot, but he actually got off of the drums to be the lead singer.
Sure, they brought along a session drummer, and he did get behind the drums a good bit, but as you are about to take off, we're going to talk next about our worst concert ever.
And it was a perfect segue into my worst concert because the group actually had the same scenario. A guy named Brad Arnold was the drummer for a group called Three Doors Down.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all sitting around. They got these songs and nobody wanted to sing. And Brad Arnold said,
well, I'll get off the drums and sing if somebody wants to take over for the drums if nobody wants to sing, and he became the lead singer.
Yeah, somebody has to do it.
Three Doors Down, I'm dubbing them my worst concert. It was a big disappointment, because they had two bands open for them, Oleander and Fuel. Oleander did okay. Fuel blew the doors off of the venue.
That's got to be horrible for a band. When you bring out an introductory group, and they're just supposed to warm the crowd up, and they just blow you off the stage. How do I follow that? You know?
He didn't really do a whole lot. I'll tell you what he did. He ran from one side of the stage to the other while he was singing, and at one point he climbed on top of the speaker. Mm-hmm. Three Doors Down, stood still.
The Cars do that. I've seen the Cars. You might as well be watching mannequins and listening to the record.
It was bad enough that the guy did not have any stage presence. He could not follow Fuel. But then, this is back in the day when Three Doors Down only had one or two hits.
Right.
And if we weren't listening to those one or two hits, we were bored.
You know? I've been to those concerts.
And they would come
dull.
Out. Now, if you listen to Three Doors Down today, you can count, probably six or seven hits.
Right.
But again, back then, there were two. And we were listening for the two. And
what in the world were you doing headlining?
Hey, we're going to play this song. You probably haven't heard it. And we'd go, so what?
Yeah. Why are you headlining?
Play something I want to hear. Now, when this song came on, hey, there you go. But when they were done, it was right back to the same old, same old. This is Three Doors Down from Escatapa, Mississippi, right across the street. This is Kryptonite, right here on Rock School.
Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere. Well, I watch the world flow to the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
God, I love that song.
I love that song, too. But, you know, I didn't feel like sitting through 15 songs I didn't know to hear it.
Yeah, I know. I've been to those kind of concerts, too, when you go to see a group and you see them because of a hit.
Yeah.
And you have to sit through 15 tunes because, buh.
Kryptonite was their first hit. Loser was their big hit at the time, so they were saving it for last. We actually left. My buddy and I, we left before they could play Loser.
We beat the traffic.
Yeah. And ironically, what was funny is that the crowd on the floor started to chant Loser.
Oh, no.
And we looked at each other and said, now, are they wanting the song or are they offering their opinion?
Oh.
I know it's mean to say, but I got to tell you, for my money, I was not a disappointment.
Well,
worst
concert. When you suggested to me to do this show and you said pick your favorite concert, your first concert, and your worst concert, I had the worst concert like that.
Oh, did you?
Yep, and I'll tell you about it.
We'll
real
get back
quick.
To it in just a second. We're going to take a quick pause with the cause and be back with Doc's worst concert. Who is it? Find out in a second on Rock School. Rock School. We're talking about our best, worst, first, most memorable concerts. Just kind of an excuse for me and Doc just to kind of take the week off from doing some research and do a little reminiscing.
We're in finals week here at school. I got a lot to do.
Yeah, we got a lot to do. So, you know, Doc gave me the reins and I'm driving the ship. I'm steering the ship. But we were talking about our first concerts and now our worst concerts, mine being Three Doors Down. Who's yours?
Greg Kinn.
Who?
Greg Kinn.
Okay.
He had a big hit with Jeopardy. But the one I'm going to play is the breakup song, or the one you're going to play. Here's what happened. I saw him when I was in college. I went to see him in a little Pittsburgh club. Donny Iris opened up for him, and Donny Iris were local heroes at the time, and it was really nice. I've seen Donny Iris probably four or five times, but every time I've seen him, he's been opening for somebody else.
Okay.
And apparently he's okay with that, because every time I've seen him, he's been an opening band. And he comes out, and he does a great job, does his 45 minutes, and puts on a nice show and leaves. Everybody's hepped up. Everybody's had 9 or 10, and we're all ready for Greg Kinn to come out. And it was, you know, it was on his, I think, his Conspiracy album. And he comes out, the light show starts, and there he stands with his guitar. He's got it held in his right hand. He's holding it straight up in the air.
Yeah.
He's got a Marlboro 100 in his mouth, and the smoke is coming off of it. And you can see the back of the stage is lit up orange, and he's backlit. And he just looks like a god standing on stage.
Yeah, it sounds like
and
a
I'm
nice
thinking,
visual.
Here we go. He's going to take off. And he keeps standing there. And he stands there for like 5 minutes. And finally, people in the audience are yelling things at him. Play something! You know, we're in a Pittsburgh crowd.
Right.
These are not exactly, you know, accommodating people.
Right.
Play something, you jerk! When his band finally kicks in, it occurs to us they're laughing at him.
Okay.
He's so drunk or so high, he can't even get through the system. He tries to put his guitar on. The guitar strap comes undone. He drops it.
Oh,
it goes sprung until the sound guy decides to pull down the,
right, the slider.
He picks it back up. Probably halfway through the concert, he comes up out of his whatever haze, and he puts on an okay concert. I'm no saint. I'm no saint by any stretch of the imagination, but I would never take people's money and then get so drunk that I couldn't even perform.
Yeah, that's not cool, man.
And that's exactly what this guy did.
People have gone to court over that.
That's right, and he left a sickening taste in my mouth.
That's a shame.
After him.
That's a shame.
Greg Kinn, this is the breakup song from 1981, my worst show ever, and it should have been one of the best because I like the stuff he does. Breakup song, Rock School. Greg Kinn from the album Kinspiracy, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a shame that you didn't have a good time at that concert, because that's a good song.
And he had a big, big hit with Our Love's in Jeopardy, and again, this guy just left a terrible taste in my mouth, and it's really too bad. Same thing happened with my wife. She went to go see John Cougar when he was... Was he still John Cougar?
Cougar,
I guess he was. And he came to her university. She went to the University of North Alabama. He came and was... lit up. He was baked on something, and he didn't perform it very well. And I gotta think it's that whole thing, well, I'm coming to this little venue, I'm coming to this little school, who cares? Who cares? Nothing. These kids paid, who cares if they paid $20?
Yeah.
You know, your best show, you know, your current show had better be as good as your best last show.
Yeah, your best show is your next show.
Because they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends, and so on and so on.
Oh,
I don't even want to hear that.
Nowadays, they'll blog you to death.
Oh, yeah.
Next thing you know, everybody knows that.
Especially since downloading's the way kids are buying the music.
That's right.
You got to make your money off of touring. So
you got to be smart.
Don't
you
even want to hear it.
Hey, we're a little bit past half past, and I'm going to go ahead and pitch it to Doc, and he's going to take it.
What?
What are you taking?
Am I doing the website?
Oh, I'm doing the website.
That's right. We're backwards today.
I don't know how to steer the ship.
Do it.
Take a look at the website and look us up and see what handsome devils we are and see. What is that? What you usually say?
Yeah,
we're good-looking people.
We're beautiful people,
man.
We
are.
Because that's what Dr. Hook says in his cover of the Rolling Stone. He says, we're beautiful people, man.
We are.
That's where I got that.
KSLU.org. Go to KSLU.org and look on the right-hand side. There's a chalkboard that says Rock School. Click on it, and you can see pictures of us whenever we were in former bands. You can see us knocking down on our instruments. You can look at the past episodes from past shows, all kinds of great stuff. And you can even contact us by clicking on contact us, or you can send us an email the old-fashioned way by going here.
Yeah, tell us what your favorite, worst, and best what have you concert was. KSLU Rockschool@gmail.com. KSLU Rockschool@gmail.com.
Now we've covered our first and worst, so why not segue into our best?
Best concert.
And I believe there's gonna be a stump.
It is
the former student.
Lit.
Oh.
Your favorite concert was Lit.
I love that band.
I sent you to Lit.
You sure did.
Yeah, as your graduation present.
That's right.
You're lucky you're not a girl.
I've seen those guys twice.
I'd have dated you.
Well.
Here we go.
All right,
Lit.
I'm ready.
Am I ready?
Yep.
Where'd the band get its name? What does the word Lit mean? Why do they call themselves Lit?
Well, I know for a fact that before they were Lit, they were called Razzle.
And Stain. Right.
And they had to change it from Stain because somebody already had that name, and then they changed it to Lit.
Right, and the guy in Toledo was going to sue them. This is from A.J. Popoff.
Right,
this
right.
It's a direct quote from him. Oh, did I get you?
I think you did.
I
think you did. Tell me.
Quote, anyway, when we recorded our first album, we were performing and someone said that our live show looked like a bomb going off. So we said, well, what do you do to a bomb? You light it.
Yeah.
So we called ourselves Lit.
Dude, I love me some Lit.
And that's where they got the title.
Let me tell you about Lit right quick. 2001, when I saw them for the first time in Lafayette, this was the absolute best time I ever had.
Yes.
Because my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife, went with me. It was a general admission show. So if you get there early enough, you can sit wherever you darn well want.
Sure.
I said, we got to get there at least 3 hours early because when they open those doors, I want to be on the floor. Doc, we got there, and apparently I'm the only one that likes lit because that parking lot was empty.
Mm-hmm.
We sat at the very front of the doors. When they opened them up, we were the first two in,
mm-hmm.
ran in there. I was so close to the stage. When AJ came on stage, I could touch his feet.
Mm.
They played an unbelievable show, and as soon as they got finished, when they started playing their last song, they were opening for Kid Rock.
Yeah.
Kid Rock's crew came out and did a prank on them. Started tearing down the stage while they were playing the song. They took the drums apart to where the poor guy was playing a snare drum. If you actually look it up on YouTube, they have it. Lit pranked by Kid Rock's crew.
Yeah.
Maximize the screen and you'll see a very young Chad and Mrs. P.
No.
Right there.
You're on?
I'm on the internet. This is My Own Worst Enemy by Lit. Number one in 1999 for 3 months on Rock School. You know, I've been trying to get that song on this show for over a year.
My apologies.
Oh, man.
My apologies. See, that's what you do. You come up with a topic, and you get to play what you want to play.
I don't know why, because they're not that popular. I mean, people know that song. It's
yeah.
their trademark song. But I have just been in love with that band from the day that I heard them. And I followed them all over the place, always on their website to see when they're coming back. And please come back.
Yeah, well... Time for my best?
Yes.
Now, you're immediately going to see, because I know you have my run here, you're immediately going to go, Burns' best concert, Van Halen.
I would think.
Gotta be.
I would have thought.
Triumph.
Triumph.
Triumph. If okay. you've not heard of Triumph, Triumph is a Canadian power trio. That's normally how they're written about. But
okay.
I went to see Triumph. I was introduced to Triumph when I went off to college. One of my roommates was from Buffalo, New York, which might as well be Canada. But he introduced me to Triumph, and I just absolutely began to, you know, next to worship. I play guitar, and most people think, that, you know, well, Eddie Van Halen is his favorite guitarist, and he is, but running neck and neck is this guy named Rick Emmett,
mm-hmm.
who is the lead guitarist of this group named Triumph, and they never came around except my senior year in college, and I went to see them. It was on the Thunder 7 tour, and I remember going to see them, and was just mesmerized with how good this guy was. I mean, I had seen a video of him, and I had listened to all the albums, and I had purchased some of the sheet music, and I had played around with it, but seeing somebody live just stuns you
mm-hmm.
to watch them do it. And what stunned me about the guy was he was blowing through this music like it was Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And in my 20-year-old brain, I believed that if I bought all the equipment that he had,
yeah.
I could play like him.
Oh, boy.
So what I did was I stopped buying, well, beer and other things like that. And I purchased myself a Yamaha SBG-200 because he was playing a Yamaha. I purchased Monster Chords, which is a specific kind of guitar chord. I purchased Roland amplifiers. And I really started to take certain things seriously, more seriously. And I began to learn a specific song from the Never Surrender album because this is the one they started the concert with. The song's called All the Way.
Mm-hmm.
I knew no woman had ever heard it. I knew that it wouldn't get me a girl. I knew it wouldn't get me a date. It was just something in my own head that if I could play this song, if I could get through this song, I would somehow achieve some pinnacle, some level
mm-hmm.
that I'd be a better guitarist.
Okay.
And that has always stuck in my head. And to this day, I own that Yamaha guitar, I own that Roland amplifier, and I can still play this song.
Rock on, man.
So here you go. From my favorite concert, the concert that at least had the most impact on me, Triumph, All the Way on Rock School. If you want to see these guys and really want to see them at their best, you can rent a DVD of them live at the US Festival. Yes, yes, I know, the US Festival. Holy 80s, Batman! But you can see them live at the US Festival. It's on Netflix. It's available for download. And it's also available, obviously, to have the DVD sent to your house. But Triumph live at the US Festival, and you get to see Rick Emmett in all of his glory. He comes out to do his guitar solo, comes out with this beautiful cherry red hollow body guitar, just simply sits down on the edge like he's going to tell, you know, come around, Grandpa's going to tell a story. And he sits down and he just tears through it. And when he plays, it's like he's playing Polly Wally Doodle. And he tears through this stuff like nothing else.
Nice, man.
You know, I will immediately say Eddie Van Halen when somebody says, who is your immediate influence? You know, Eddie Van Halen. Who's second? Rick Emmett. And most people look at me. Who?
Ooh.
Who is that? You really have to be a guitarist that has dug into this stuff to know
Excellent.
Who the guy is.
But so is that your best show / show that inspired you to spend the most money?
Oh, yes. I blew close to $1,500
nice.
to equal him out because
Excellent.
I bought his, you know, I took along binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
So most people are watching the show. I'm looking at his foot pedal.
You're spying.
You know,
like
he's got a DOD
like a
distortion
service.
Pedal. He's got a, I think that's a Morley wah pedal he's got there. Back in a minute on Rock School.
Rock School, we're talking about our most memorable concerts. Between the two of us, Doc and I have been to probably at least 50 concerts.
Oh, I've been to over 100 myself.
See, there you go.
Easily.
We're radio guys, we're old rockers, and
I've been to concerts I didn't want to go to. I went to Weird Al Yankovic twice.
Okay, I'd have left that one.
It was free.
Okay.
I've been to the Miami Sound Machine.
I'm glad you said free. Let me ask you a question. Talking about free. Has there ever been a show that you would not have gone to on your own? You would not have looked at it and said, oh, I want to go there. But because you had a friend that maybe had an extra ticket or somebody just insisted that you go, were you ever drugged to a concert? Didn't really want to go, but yeah, okay. And then it turned out that you said, wow, I'm really glad that I went. It was so worth it.
I brought one.
Did you?
I brought one. The show that I was dragged to and then loved. I'll tell you one I did.
Did I say drug?
Dragged to. Taken to by, you know, when I first started dating my wife, she could have asked me to step in front of a train and I'd have done it.
Okay.
But I'll tell you one that I'm not going to play. Diamond Rio, the country group. I looked at her, my wife, and I'm not going to Diamond Rio. Yes, you are. Okay. I'm going. I listen to Diamond Rio now.
Cool.
All the time. I love them to death. They won me over.
Okay.
And I'll play another one for you, but
Excellent.
You go ahead now.
Well, I got one right here. I think you're pretty familiar with it, man. Nickelback.
Yeah, Rockstar.
Nickelback's coming to New Orleans.
Yeah.
A friend of mine's got an extra ticket. I don't despise Nickelback, but I'm not a big fan. You know, they got a couple of songs that I like. Oh, what the hey. You know, I don't have anything going on, and I like going to shows. Let's go. So we go, and again, we're on the floor.
Yeah.
These guys led with this song. It's called Leader of Men. You'll hear the climax, you know, where it goes from just regular guitar and maybe a hi-hat and a kick drum to where the entire band comes in. Their intelligent use of pyrotechnics.
You like the stuff that goes boom,
Chad,
do you?
Chad, be like pyro. You'll hear it, and you'll just be able to tell. Let me tell you something right quick about them. Band's name comes from the nickel and change that customers used to receive from the bass player, Mike Kroger. He used to work at Starbucks.
Yeah.
And he used to always say, here's your nickel back. Well, there's their name.
There's your band.
One of the lines in this song is actually based on a true event. Chad Kroger, the lead singer, said, the line about jumping off a cliff to save a girl, that really happened. Some of my friends and I were cliff diving. One of my friends, her name's Kathy, she was getting swept downstream and she couldn't stay afloat. She wasn't a strong swimmer, so I jumped in and swam down to her and pulled her ashore. Line goes, one day up to a cliff that overlooked the water, I jumped in to save a girl. It was somebody's daughter. And now the ring is on my hand. It was given to me by her. To this day, we all sit around and dream of ways to get higher.
Huh.
So there you go.
He actually saved somebody's life?
He sure did.
Wow.
Nickelback, right here. My biggest surprise concert on Rock School.
Tell your friends not to think out loud until they swallow. Whisper thing into my brain. Your voice sounds so hollow. I am not a leader of men.
That pyro went off, and Jed B was a fan.
Jed B liked the boom.
Jed B liked the boom.
Things that go boom.
You know, we were talking off mic. I made a comment. I said, I really like these guys, but I swear I think Chad Kroger's probably the ugliest guy I've ever seen.
See, you can't do that.
Well,
you're not allowed to do that.
Why?
Well, we need to take a microphone. We need to walk across campus, find the prettiest girls we can, put a microphone near them, and say, who's the ugliest rocker in the world?
Come up with
14 or 15 names and do a show.
Well, we'll do a show,
the
but I guarantee you, I'll bet my paycheck on it that somebody's going to say, that guy from Nickelback's real ugly.
Okay. All right.
That's a show.
We're not allowed to do that, though.
Why not?
Because we're guys.
Dude.
We don't know what ugly is.
Jack Kroger's ugly.
Hell, we think we're beautiful guys.
We are beautiful people.
All right, moving on.
One more.
We got time for one more.
One more.
And this one caused problems in the Burns household.
Why?
Because I have all these here, you know, band I have seen the most, Van Halen, concert with the best reproduction of the music ever, Eddie Money.
Okay.
He was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
He was really great. Concert I was dragged to and loved, REO Speedwagon.
Okay.
Best concert without an album, Asia,
okay,
and all that. But the one I'm going to finish on was the first concert with my wife. The problem is, she thinks I'm wrong.
Huh?
Well, she's wrong.
Okay. You can't say that.
Wrong. I'm right.
Oh, God.
The first place we went to dinner,
uh-huh,
Chi-Chi's.
All right.
Chi-Chi's. And okay, I even remember what she had. She had the chimichanga. And she agrees that I'm right about that. The first movie we ever saw together, Top Gun. Oh, yes.
Right,
Children
Maverick
of the 80s. That's right. Mother Goose. She thinks the first concert we ever went to was Chicago.
Okay.
She's wrong. She has to be wrong because I remember we were both working at the radio station together and we all got tickets the same place. We went to, it was at the Von Braun Civic Center in Huntsville, Alabama, and it was Night Ranger.
Okay, there's a...
It was Night Ranger.
There's a simple solution to this, dude.
Which is?
Do you save your ticket stubs?
No, why would you save ticket stubs?
I save all my ticket stubs.
No, I don't do that. I know people that do that, but I don't.
Well,
I don't. No, I don't. But see, we went to see Chicago together, and we went to go see Night Ranger together.
Okay.
The question is, which one of them came first?
Chicken or the egg?
The Night Ranger or the Chicago. The thing is, I'm right.
Okay.
And she's very angry at me. You know when we had this little fight?
When?
Mother's Day.
Okay.
Here's Night Ranger on Rock School, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Say it.
Class is dismissed!
Doesn't that feel good?